I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us on the front porch today. We pray that today's program will be a half hour of hope for your life.
Indeed, we do. And in case you're new to Front Porch Talks, I just thought I'd take a few moments today to explain who we are and what it is we're actually doing on the air. I'm Kerry Willis. I pastor the Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene, have been for 23 years. My son has a degree in broadcasting. His name is Grayson. He sits across from me in the studio. And we have this ministry together called Front Porch Talks. We just sense that if we talk about Jesus, we talk about the Word of God, we talk about the good things of life, that it will be an encouragement to you. And so that's why we say things like, we pray that today's broadcast will be a half hour of hope for your life. You know, the world we live in today, there are a lot of bad views, but we'd like to bring good news, and that good news is based on Jesus Christ. So we are humbled that you would sacrifice your time today to listen in, and I believe that it will be a special time of your soul being lifted because we base our program on the Bible. And we believe the Bible has the very best hope that we could ever hope for. And that hope comes from the author. He sent his son, his only son, Jesus Christ, to give us hope in a seemingly hopeless world. And so today, we do indeed welcome you. And we say, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. And those are lyrics from an old gospel song, probably back in the 1980s, but it certainly rings true on Front Porch Talks today. We are entering now, or I should say re-entering, a series that we've been sharing called Praying the Psalms. Yes, the Psalms of the Old Testament can be prayers from our very hearts. Just today, as I was talking to the Lord in my quiet time, I said, Lord, I pray these psalms as if they were written by me, because often they express exactly how I feel about life and how I feel about the life giver, Holy God. Today we're going to jump in the middle of Psalm 103. It's where we left off from our last session of praying the psalms. And so I'm reading from Psalm 103, New Living Translation of the Holy Bible. And Grayson will sometimes jump in with some commentary from the God's Word translation. Nevertheless, Psalm 103, verse 13. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wild flowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. Now, Grayson, these verses 13 through 17 of Psalm 103, are deep water. As I was reading through there, what is something you might want to make clearer or just give some commentary on from your point of view?
Well, I want to emphasize the fact that he says in verse 13 that we're his children and he has compassion on us and we know that he loves us. And so the fact that we're his children and he has compassion on us and that he loves us, that should give us hope just knowing that we're part of the royal family, we're part of his family. All we got to do is accept him into our life and accept the gift that he's given us of forgiveness and the gift to accept him and to accept eternal life.
Yes, he talks in language, calling the Lord a father to his children. When I was reading verse 13, the Lord is like a father to his children, I was thinking about the idea of praying. And when we pray to the Father as children. Because we are children, we have a right to ask our Father for help. And because he is a father, he has an obligation to help us as his children. And so I know the Lord loves whenever we call out to him, pray to him as children, calling out to a loving father. He says in the Word, he is tender and compassionate to those who fear him. Now, fear is a word that we need to talk about a little bit. Fear means to reverence someone. But it also means fear. The idea is that he is such an awesome God that he would claim to be our Father. That should cause us to have awe in our lives, A-W-E, to live in awe of the awesome Father God. And that would classify the idea of fearing God, reverencing God. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. And so when we contrast who we are with who he is, that brings a reverence into our lives that leads to worship of God. He knows we are weak because he made us out of dust. But we are his children, and he loves us all the same. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. Yet God has no beginning and no end. He has always existed in the eternal now. And we think about our lives and how he is so lasting and eternal, and our lives are so limited. And so when we think about that contrast, the psalmist is right to say, our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. So we have a forever after this life, Grayson. And the only reason is because we have an awesome God who has created us and who celebrates us as his children. Any other thoughts you have on those verses?
Well, Dad, what you were talking about, how we have a forever after this life, and I've heard you say before, we don't have to wait till after this life for our new life in Christ to begin. That life begins now for a believer, begins today, because as Christians, we can live forever in his light. And I mean, I think of the thought about how we can be born once and die twice, or die once and be born twice. And that's the idea of forever. And so that should be encouragement. It's encouragement to me. I hope it's encouragement to you, Dad, also, and to those listening.
Exactly. Encouragement is exactly what we're receiving today, Grayson, and it's coming from the Word of God. He brings that encouragement so clearly to us. Let's go a little further in Psalm 103 now. Verse 17, I'll pick up reading there. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. So, Grayson, we find that the love of God, while our lives are short-lived here on the planet, we go to be with him for forever. But while our lives are short-lived here on earth, our lives touch the lives of the next generation, because his salvation extends to the children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. So future generations can also know the faith in God, Grayson, based on our testimony, based on the way we have shared it. And we can have this hope that not just our lifetime will matter for God, but the lifetime of those who follow in our footsteps will also be full of everlasting hope.
Yes, Dad, and as you're reading the Psalms and talking, I was thinking about how he's faithful to everyone, to every generation, not just to one generation or another generation, but to all generations of those who follow him. And like you said, those who follow him and obey him, it doesn't just affect them. He doesn't just have favor on them, but also to the next generation and the generation after that because of the faithful generation.
Exactly. Faithfulness goes on and on and on and on. It's like that line in algebra. There's no end to the line of faithfulness. Verse 19, the Lord has made the heavens his throne, and there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord. So David goes from talking about his own life to talking to angels and encouraging them to praise God. Now, what do you think about that kind of talk, Grayson?
Well, Dad, not only do us as humans, his creation, were we designed to praise him, but the angels were designed to praise him, and all of creation, the animals, the birds, all of creation was designed to give him praise and was designed for him, to worship him.
Yes, he starts out kind of addressing the angels, and he says, you mighty ones. And then he comes on and says, everything that he's created should praise him, And then he ends by saying, let all that I am praise the Lord. That's a pretty powerful prayer there when he says, let all that I am praise the Lord. What do you think he means exactly by let all that I am praise the Lord?
Well, it's the idea of praising him with everything that we are, or everything that we have, not half-heartedly. And I think we mentioned that in the last broadcast, but just giving him everything when we worship him, giving him our undivided attention, giving him our all in worship.
Exactly. It's sold out worship. It means that I have no other gods before him. He is my only God. I will not serve idols. I will not serve things. I will not serve someone else. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Wholehearted worship. And that's exactly where we're encouraged by the psalmist. As he writes his words and we turn his words into prayers, certainly we would pray today, let all that we are praise the Lord. He demands it and he deserves it. He is worthy of all our worship and all our praise. And we say amen to the psalmist as he makes this proclamation. And I can't help but say it again, let all that I am praise the Lord. I want to roll now into a different psalm. I want to go to Psalm 108. It's listed in the New Living Translation as a song or a psalm of David. Now, songs and psalms and spiritual songs, we know in the New Testament, we're encouraged to use psalms, songs, and spiritual songs to praise and worship our Lord. And in Psalm 108, it's a song, but you'll find also that it's a prayer song, perhaps. And I want to read some of this, and Grayson and I will talk a little bit about it as we go along. Verse 1, Psalm 108. My heart is confident in you, O God. No wonder I can sing your praises with all my heart. Wake up, lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations. For your unfailing love is higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. Now rescue your beloved people. Answer and save us by your power. Let's look at those six verses, Grayson. Is there one verse there that kind of is glowing for you to make comment about?
Well, the psalmist, or David, re-emphasizes a big theme in Psalms, and that's he cries out to Jesus. He cries out to God, says, rescue me, help me. And so that's what sticks out to me in these verses.
Yes, he talks about being rescued and rescue the people that you love, the beloved people. And we know that we are among the beloved, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And so we know that we are part of the beloved ones in some way, some shape, some form. When you go back to verse 1, he says, my heart is confident in you. You know, a lot of people lack confidence because they're putting their confidence in the wrong people or the wrong things. And we need to put our confidence fully in God. If he is our foundation, we cannot be shaken. He goes on to say, I can sing your praises with all my heart. So he's coming back to that last word that we had earlier in Psalm 103, let all that I am praise the Lord. Now he's saying, I can sing your praises with all my heart. And so David's all in. I mean, he's wholehearted worshiping God. And he talks about his instruments. He talks to his instruments. You know, in the earlier chapter, he was talking to angels. And now he's talking to his instruments, the lyre and the harp. He says, wake up. I will wake the dawn with my song. And so the first thing in the morning that he wants to hear is his own voice and his own instruments praising this God, holy God, that he loves. I like also in verse 3 where he says, I will sing your praises among the nations. Not just privately will I praise you, but I will praise you publicly, anywhere and everywhere, among all people, because your unfailing love is higher than the heavens, he says. And he deserves praise, no doubt, for an unfailing love. He goes on to say, be exalted, O God. And this means be lifted. And the Lord is lifted on our praises, Grayson. When we praise God, when we worship, we lift him up. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto myself. Now we know he was lifted up on the cross. And certainly he drew people, drew us to himself when he was crucified. But also when we lift him on our praises, something about that will draw people also to our Lord. So, Grayson, anything else in those first six verses, or if you want to add on to something I was talking about, just put that in play right now.
Well, when you were talking about how we should put our confidence in God, how oftentimes we're putting our confidence in other things, I was thinking about how when we pray, we want to believe what we're praying, have confidence that God hears us and that he's going to answer us, maybe not always in the way that we intend for him to answer, but we should be confident in knowing that he hears our prayers and that he'll answer our prayers.
Yes, confidence in him is really everything to us. Without him, we should not have confidence because it would be a false confidence. And so we want to make sure that he is our solid rock, that he is our foundation, that we are standing on no other confidence except confidence in our holy Creator God. And that's the beauty of the Psalms. David covers a lot of ground in his writing, and we can take that writing and we can pray it. And we want to go on to verse 7 now. We're kind of rolling through Psalm 108, and I want to read the rest of it, and we'll come back and take pieces of it and just lift those out and make them very essential to our lives today. Verse 7, God has promised this by his holiness. That is, that he would answer and save us by his power. God has promised this by his holiness. I will divide up Shechem with joy. I will measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh too. Ephraim, my helmet, will produce my warriors. And Judah, my scepter, will produce my kings. But Moab, my washbasin, will become my servant. And I will wipe my feet on Edom and shout in triumph over Philistia. Who will bring me into the fortified city? Who will bring me victory over Edom? Have you rejected us, O God? Will you no longer march with our armies? Oh, please help us against our enemies. For all human help is useless. With God's help, we will do mighty things. For he will trample our foes. Now, verses 7 through verse 9, David is making it very particular, very specific to the tribes of Israel. So Grace and I are going to move down into verse 11, 12, and 13 and just talk about these three powerful verses. I should have said that David was talking in verses 7, 8, 9, and 10 about the specific tribes of Israel and asking for God's help in his day and time. But when we come to verse 11, 12, and 13, this applies to us. We can apply it very beautifully to us today. Grayson, what application do you see in either verse 11, verse 12, or verse 13?
Well, Dad, in verses 12 and 13, it's saying, help us against our enemy because human assistance is worthless. And it's talking about how God displays strength, or we can display strength through God, and he will trample our enemies. So we should know that whenever we need help, we can always come to God, and God's help is better than human help, much better than human help, and that we have strength in him.
Exactly, Grayson. And I love that point that the psalmist makes. You know, your grandmother, your nanny, you call her, my mom, Lady Melba to me, that's the name that I honor her with because she's such a lady of the Lord. She's a simple lady with a profound faith. And I have been so blessed to call her my mom these 56 years of my life. And I hope I get to call her that a lot more. Of course, I always call her mom, but I hope the Lord lets her be among us on this planet. She's such a prayer warrior. I wouldn't want to even try to get along without her. But she's really taught me a lot of things in the faith. And when I read this verse, verse 12 says, oh, please help us against our enemies, for all human help is useless. The idea that you're referring to, Grayson. Recently, mom, Lady Melba, your nanny, said to me, she said, Carrie, when I was young in my faith, I learned that people couldn't help me very much. They had the same problems I had. And so very quickly I turned from asking people to help me with the big things in life to asking God. And I think she asked him for help in the little things and the middle-sized things as well. She came to depend on the Lord as her source, as her strength, as her helper. She learned that humans may have, you know, good intentions, but often they would not be able to give to her the kind of help that she needed. And the reason for that is we have been created to need God. And God created us that way so that we could have a relationship with him that would be beautifully reinforced by his love for us. And so mom taught me that, You know, when people don't understand you, Carrie, it's okay. It's okay. Go to God because He always knows. I was reading Oswald Chambers a while back in my life, and he's been a great mentor to me, really. And I used to have this idea where I really wanted people to understand me. I still do. I mean, I don't want people to be confused by me. But sometimes, Grayson, people just don't understand you. You try to explain your heart, and they just don't see it. They don't get it, maybe, is the best way to say it. And one day, while I was reading from My Utmost for His Highest, or one of the great writings of Oswald Chambers, he made a statement that freed me up. He said, when people, mere people, don't fully understand you, rejoice. He said, because whoever fully understands you is your God. And that really helped me, Grayson, because not only did I start to put less expectations on people, but I began to have more grace and more mercy toward people, understanding that maybe I expected too much, that I expected them to have God qualities in that they would have omniscient knowledge, they would know all things, and would be able to understand whatever I was trying to communicate. And so even in my life today, when some people sort of shake their head when I'm trying to explain myself, I kind of get encouraged by it because that just simply and profoundly says they are not my God. But my God always understands. He knows exactly what's going on in my mind. I mean, He understands what I'm thinking and trying to convey better than I understand what I am thinking and trying to convey. And so I want to be always looking to Him as my help, not expecting people, mere people, to do what only God can do. These thoughts caused me recently, Grayson, to write a blog. I have a blog where daily I post some ideas to hopefully encourage folk. And if you'd like to go there and check it out sometime, it's www.romans1015. Now you have to spell it out. It's all letters. R-O-M-A-N-S, Romans 10, T-E-N, 15, F-I-F-T-E-E-N, .blogspot.com. That's www.romans1015.blogspot.com. And it's called Beautiful Feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And I've had this blog, I guess, going on 8 or 10 years now. I try to put something on there daily that will encourage people. A lot like Front Porch Talks. I want it to daily be hope for people's lives. Recently, it was like August 29th, I wrote something titled Heart Purity, and it goes along with verse 12, for all human help is useless. This idea that people cannot understand us and we shouldn't expect too much from mere humans. And listen as I read this blog post from my blog on August 29, 2017. Blessed are the pure in heart. These are the words of Jesus recorded in Matthew 5 and verse 8. I have learned that heart purity causes me to have heightened expectations of God and a lowered expectations of people. What I mean is this. Sanctification, purity of heart, enables me to focus on how pleased I am with God over how disappointed I could be with people. Here's the point. People are not God, so we should not expect them to never let us down. Too often, because I am not God, I can disappoint myself. So why would I expect unrealistic performance from other people like me when I know perfect performance is only a God Himself quality? Recently, I heard Ravi Zacharias make a powerful 3-word statement, don't play God. It impacted me very undeniably. It reminded me of Brother Earl Clark's prayer, God, you be God all by yourself. So I pray, Lord, please continue to purify my heart. Help me to heighten my expectations of you as I extend more and more mercy to the people in my life. If and when people let me down, I still want to lift them up. And when I let others down, may it only serve to prove to them that they need to look beyond my weakness and see you in your perfect power. Teach me that the pure in heart prove their authenticity by believing in you and by blessing others. Yes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, and as a result, others will see God in them. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, Grayson, when I wrote that blog, I was talking about what the psalmist is saying and what we are praying today as we pray the Psalms. Oh, please, God, help us against our enemies, for all human help is useless. With God's help, we will do mighty things, for he will trample down our foes. So, Grayson, what would you want to add to this idea of human help being really useless when it comes to helping us with the spiritual victories we need, but God's help bringing mighty things to pass in our lifetime?
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that we can't get any help from other people or other believers, but in comparison to God's help for us, then it's useless or it's nothing in comparison to our help from God, because God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and he is the one who created us and created all things. So who knows us better and who knows our situation, and those that we're in conflict with, our enemies, as the verse refers to, as then our Father God. And so he's the one we should come to first and always whenever we have a problem and whenever we need help.
Right, exactly. And your nanny, your grandmother, my mom, Lady Melba, she made it clear. She said, I found out early on in my life of faith that people couldn't help me very much. They can help us a little, and we should help one another, and we should give love to one another, and wherever we can help each other, we should. But what she really meant was this, Grayson. Other people make fine friends as humans, but they make terrible gods. People cannot do for us what God only can do. And so we want to keep our eyes focused. You know, David even said in one of his Psalms, I look to the hills, where does my help come from? Well, not from the hills. He says from the one who created, the maker of the hills and the sky. God is our helper. He is our help and very present help in time of trouble. The psalmist said that also in Psalm 46 and verse 1. And so we know that what he's getting at here in this verse is that all human help, when compared to God, is pretty much useless to us. But God can do mighty things as we look to him as our helper with a capital H. We want to bring this broadcast to a close. We do pray that today has been a half hour of hope for your life. Thanks so much for being a part of the Front Porch Talks family. If you join us once on the front porch, we consider you family. And we hope you'll keep coming around. We're going to leave you with a little bit of music. At Grayson's discretion, we pray that God will be your everything.
Here's our friend Kim McLean singing her song, In His Presence.
In His presence, fullness of joy, at His right, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine! I am His and He is mine. In His presence, fullness of joy. In His presence, fullness of joy, at His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine! I am His and He is mine. In His
broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.